Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Jordan from SleekLens.com, and welcome to this week's episode of the Sleek Lens Photography Podcast. Thank you guys for coming back and checking it out. This particular podcast is going to be all about DSLR video. Now, a lot of DSLRs out there today and a lot of mirrorless cameras as well, they have you, they kind of give you the ability to shoot really high quality video. So you basically have a very nice camera taking a device with you as well as a video recording device. So it makes it a really handy thing if you're going out to take some photos, and you might want to grab some video as well. So I'm going to go over a couple of video tips for you to try to help your video look a little bit better. So the first thing I'm going to talk about is probably the one that a lot of people don't really understand when it comes to setting your manual exposure for your camera. Let me touch on that real quick. In most of the cameras, you have an auto setting and you have a manual setting. So when you're using your DSLR video, you can have the camera go ahead and just like the green box mode or the auto mode, the full auto mode on your camera when you're taking a photo, you can have the camera basically do the same thing with video. So it'll automatically choose the shutter speed, the aperture, the ISO, and everything together to get you a nice looking neutral video. But a lot of people don't know that you can actually switch that to be a more manual setting. So you control everything. And so when you control everything, you also control the frame rate of your camera. So basically what you're doing is changing how fast your camera captures an image per second. So basically what I'm saying is when you switch it over to video, you're basically just capturing a series of images over a matter of a second, and how fast it is or how slow it is depends on how your image looks or your video looks. So there's a couple standard frame rates. Around 24 frames per second to 30 frames per second is kind of the standard when it comes to cinematic movie. It's kind of a slower frame rate. It's not a bad frame rate, but that's just kind of the ones that movies nowadays are typically shot at, is between 24 and 30 frames per second. Now, you see a lot of cameras out there, even some cell phones that go higher than that. And basically what you're doing is when you have a faster frame rate that is faster than 24 or 30 frames per second, you have the ability to record slow-mo events. So if you have something that's moving really fast, you can slow it down a little bit. So that would be up to around 60 frames per second, 120 frames per second, even 240 frames per second. That's extremely slow-mo. But around 60 frames per second is kind of the standard frame rate for getting really nice slow-mo looking video that kind of fits in with the 24 and 30 frames per second. So what I mean by that is, let's say you're recording a movie at 30 frames per second, and you decide that you want to do a really slow-mo shot of somebody walking or something just to make it a little bit more dramatic. So you'll change your settings to capture 60 frames per second. So you'll capture the scene at 60 frames per second. It's pretty much going to look exactly the same on the device. But once you start editing, you can actually slow that down to 30 frames per second, meaning that your movie is going to be half the speed, and it's going to look really slow-mo, but your whole entire project is still going to be 30 frames per second. So it's a lot of numbers, it's a lot of math, but it actually comes out really nice. So what I mean by that is you'll have to capture frames per second. So the more frames per second you set your camera to capture between 24, 30, 60, you're going to need more space on your camera, obviously. And also, when you choose the setting in your camera, when you choose 24 frames or 30 frames per second in the settings of your camera, you actually have to adjust your shutter speed when you're changing the exposure yourself, instead of having the camera do it. So let's say you're recording 24 frames per second. You actually need to set your shutter speed to 1/50th of a second. You basically want to double whatever your frames per second is. So if you're shooting 30 frames per second, you need to change your shutter speed to 1/60th. And then if you're shooting 60 frames per second, you need to shoot at around 1/125th of a second. Obviously, when you're changing those, you also need to make sure that the other settings are set accordingly. So if you're shooting 60 frames per second, you need to make sure you have enough light to accommodate that. So make sure your aperture is down pretty, you know, a kind of a lower number aperture, a wider aperture. Make sure your ISO is up a little bit so you can get more light in there to actually capture a well-lit scene using those FPS numbers. So it's not all just about the frames per second as well. Let's talk about ISO, which we just kind of mentioned. A lot of people think ISO when you're taking photos, when you're in that photography mind frame, that ISO is bad if it's, you start to raise it up a little bit to, 1600, 3200, because you're inducing a lot of noise into your photo. But when it comes to video, noise is not as bad as you might think. Compared to photos. So you can actually, and what a lot of people do, if they're just recording standard video, a lot of people don't really even mess with the ISO in their camera when they're recording video. Most of the time, they actually probably set it to auto, and they let the camera choose the ISO that the scene needs to be set at, and they only worry about the frames per second, which you should only, kind of set at the beginning, and then only concentrate on the aperture to kind of determine how much of your scene needs to be in focus. So if you want to highlight a subject, make sure you have a wider aperture. If you want to have pretty much a lot of the scene in focus, make sure you have a smaller aperture, a higher number. So you kind of need to think about that as well. Don't let the higher ISO numbers kind of scare you away from getting a good scene. Obviously, if you can get more light in your camera, you're still going to have a cleaner image, but it's not going to be as noticeable as it would be if you were taking a still image. Now let's talk about focusing. A lot of cameras, when video first started to be introduced, a lot of cameras didn't have the ability to autofocus your image. So if you were to follow a person or have somebody talking in the camera, you would actually have to manually focus on that person, and it would not continually focus. So if the person moved back and forth, the scene would not track their face to keep them in focus. Nowadays, it's kind of getting a little bit more common in most DSLRs where you have active tracking focus where it'll continually focus on a moving subject. But that kind of brings up the debate of whether you should continue to just do autofocus or you should do manual focus. I'm of the mindset that you should probably stick with just doing manual focus. It'll get you a little bit better working with the camera and getting you to kind of focus exactly on what you want. But there are a lot of people that actually still use autofocus, and those are probably considered more of the vlogging type where they have the camera pointed at them. They don't want to worry about focusing, and they let the camera focus in. One thing that that does do, however, is if you're not using an external sound, an external mic, you're probably going to hear the actual camera start focusing. You're going to hear the ratcheting of the gears and the lens turning and everything like that. You're going to hear that noise, and that could really disrupt your film. So that's one thing I want to talk about in this next tip coming up, is actually using external sound. But again, you need to worry about whether you want to manual focus or autofocus. I truly believe that using manual focus is probably the better way to go. But if you're in a pinch, you could probably always switch it to autofocus and you'll be fine most of the time. But if you could work with trying to track a subject using manual focus while you're recording video, you're just going to get way more familiar with your camera. Okay, so let's talk about the sound. Sound is probably one of the most important things when it comes to having the best video possible. A lot of people think that they need to spend a bunch of time editing and getting the picture to look extremely right. But if you have, if you're trying to record sound, if like say in an interview or something, and you're using the on-camera microphone, you're not really picking up the best sound possible. Even if you have a really quiet room and everything is perfect there, you're not going to have the best sound possible. You really want to use an external source for your audio. And there's a couple audio options for this. You can get a shotgun mic or a directional mic that will plug directly into your camera, and you can put that on the hot shoe of your camera, and you can point it at your subject. And that will allow you to capture audio basically just coming from one point directly in front where the microphone is pointing. And that's going to do a lot better job. There's a lot of companies out there that do that. Rode is probably the most popular one. RODE is probably, that's probably one of the most popular companies that make mics like that. But you can also use wireless systems as well. But that gets a little bit more complicated. If you want something easy, picking up some sort of shotgun mic to go hot, like a hot shoe mic to go on top of your camera that plugs directly into your camera, so you're recording everything all at once. That's probably the easiest way to do it. All right, so now let's talk about picture style and white balance. picture style and white balance is a really important thing, especially when you're starting to edit your final film or your final movie that you're recording. So the when it comes to picture style, you have a lot of picture styles to choose from, just as you would if you were taking a photo. You can actually choose a picture style. A lot of us have probably seen that, where you have like a landscape version or a black and white monochrome version or something like that. I really highly suggest that you choose some sort of neutral or flat picture style. And the reason for this is you want to be able to have as much room as possible when you start editing your film. Whether you're doing it on your smartphone using a free iPhone editing app or Android editing app or something, or you're actually doing it on a desktop using a professional editor, you're going to have way more flexibility with the exposure and the saturation and the colors and everything like that. You're going to have way more control over that if you have a flat picture style. If you have a picture style that has a lot of contrast in it, or it really saturates the colors right out of the camera, you can probably bring some of that back, but you're not going to be able to bring it back as much as you would think, because editing video is a little bit more tricky when it comes to bringing out as much contrast and colors and everything, because you're not technically editing a raw file like you would be with a photo. You're editing a movie file, and there's a little bit less data to play with. So if you have a neutral or flat picture style, that gives you the most ability to drag out as much exposure and colors as you can. Now, with white balance, that's another tricky part. A lot of people think that you could just sample something in the film or in the movie and automatically correct the colors. In some cases, you can probably do that, but in some cases, you're just kind of out of luck. Especially if you're recording indoors or something, and you have these really bad tungsten lights, and you want to try to get rid of that color cast, it's going to be very hard to get rid of that if you don't take the proper precautions before you start recording. So you can easily simply do that by changing your white balance depending on the situation. So don't always rely on the auto white balance when it comes to filming your video on your DSLR. It's going to probably get it right more than it's going to probably get it wrong more than it gets it right, actually. So don't automatically rely on that auto white balance there. If you're in a daylight situation, switch it to a daylight version. That'll get you kind of in the ballpark. If you're indoors, switch it to tungsten or fluorescent, depending on what kind of light you're around, that kind of thing. Just kind of be more cognizant of the white balance and not think of it as a photographer, where if you're editing a photo, you could simply just click one button and it's almost corrected. One thing you could also do is get a white balance or a gray card, some sort of card to carry around with you if you want to have really nice, accurate colors. It has the pure white, the 50% gray, and the black. You can carry that around with you. But if you don't want to spend the money just to grab something like that, even though they're fairly inexpensive, just finding some sort of white piece of paper, that's going to get you started in the right direction pretty much. You could actually sample that white piece of paper in your kind of movie editor, your film editor, whatever you're editing with, and you can sample that color. It's going to automatically change it to pure white, and that'll get you kind of in the ballpark. So just simple things like that to think about before you start recording your film. And the last thing I'll talk about, and this is not a technical version of recording your video on your DSLR or mirrorless camera, but think like a photographer when you're doing these types of things. It's going to really help you out and make it to where it's more fun, and it's going to help you stand out a little bit more. So if you're the type of photographer who, you know, likes these crazy angles of getting low or getting really high and getting these different vantage points, just because you're recording a video doesn't mean you have to be straight on, or you can't really explore that as well. So remember to get low, just like you would if you were doing a photograph. Get high, do all these kind of cool things. Play with depth of field as well. Think like a photographer when you're doing video. It's really going to help you stand out. It's really going to make your video just kind of pop off the screen. All right, guys, so that's just a couple quick tips, some technical, some theoretical, I guess, for getting the best DSLR or mirrorless camera video as possible when you're just starting out to learn how to record video. Don't forget to please rate and review the podcast. If you could go to iTunes and just leave a quick review of the podcast, just kind of type out a little description, whether you like it or hate it, whatever, just leave a review for us. And if you do that, next week we're actually going to draw the name of the person who wins a Sleek Lens Photography gift card to get pretty much anything on the site that they want to. We're going to kind of talk about that next week and just kind of announce the winner. So if you haven't left a review, please do that. It would really help the show grow as well. So thank you guys for joining me in this week's podcast. This has been Jordan from Sleek Lens, and I'll see you in the next podcast.